Guys, welcome to A Business English, a podcast special. I'm so grateful for you guys out there. This is an interview that I did back in March. I put these Business English podcast interviews and some of the episodes I've already done on my Business Premium podcast, which is $10 a month. And of course, you can buy a subscription per year. Now, again, after I finish season 5 of my ESL podcast, I will be going into Business English again, and I'll be going to the lower levels, starting from there and building up, right? So, I'm doing General English and have done 4 seasons already, finishing up the 5th, and then we're going to go into Business English, and we're going to do 5 seasons of that. So, again, this is going to be a long, long time after that. I have no idea what's going to happen. But within the Business English realm, there's going to be sales, investment, and this is what I'm covering on my Business English podcast right now. So if you guys are interested in that, the link is in the description. And I will start adding a lot of episodes to that, as well as Microsoft Word documents and other things. I could just make this a Patreon, but again, people don't like clicking on the Patreon link so much. So in this episode, I brought on Hernan Ciez. He's a teacher, real estate guy, along with his brother. He has a joint podcast with his brother called the Business Bros Podcast. And this was at the dawn of COVID. So it's very interesting to hear our perspectives 2 months ago, well, practically 3 months ago now, compared to what it is now. And after you guys have already heard the reading Adapt or Die, this is a very powerful podcast for a lot of you out there. So again, guys, this is the mindsets of people back in, what, of March 22nd? And now it is mid-June. So I hope you guys enjoy this. If you have any questions or if you guys want my premium version of my Business English podcast, please let me know. Or again, click the link in the description or ask questions, whatever it may be. So without further ado, let's get into this. Guys, welcome back to Arsenio's Business English Podcast, of course, premium. And today, I got my man Hernan of the
Business Bros
Podcast here today. And I'm so grateful because this is the first interviewee that I'm bringing onto this, of course, Business English Premium Podcast. And we're going to be, oh my God, this is going to be a journey like no other, but so many actionable items. If you guys don't already know, man, Hernan has come onto my podcast before, and because he is a school teacher out there in San Diego, California, and because now their schools are on lockdown, and because we're going through this whole foray, Hernan is kind of like me. He's transitioning from over here to over here because, again, the schools have shut down towards the end of the school year, so who knows what the hell's going on, but how is Hernan keeping his place? How is he switch into a virtual world? Is this better for his business in terms of real estate, in terms of asset management? There are so many avenues that this podcast may go. Guys, I don't know what I'm going to call it right now, but Hernan, without further ado, man, thanks for coming on, brother.
Woo, super excited, dude. I mean, you're right. There's so many different topics that we can talk about. I'm going to start off with the probably the basic one. I am worried about my insurance company. Like, hands down, I have a concern. If it comes down to, you know, we're going into this whole lockdown phase, right? There's people who are losing their jobs, industries that are closing down, restaurants that are not allowed to be open. People are not able to pay their bills. And if it comes down to paying for dinner or paying for their insurance policy, they're going to pay for dinner, right? And so that is definitely going to hurt my bottom line. And so, you know, I am having conversations with employees on like, hey, this is the particular situation. I don't want to have to do any of this stuff. But if things change, this is where the direction that we could be going in. Like, this is the conversations that we're having. This is the time in a business that's it's reminiscent of 2008 for us in the US, who had a large meltdown in the economy. This is the time to start trimming the fat in your business. Like, you're looking down your P&L and like cutting off things that you don't necessarily need and just focusing your attention on the things that are essential to your business. And when you look at the P&Ls, there's always things that you can cut as far as expenses are concerned. And most people only go to that extent. What can I cut? But what you need to focus your attention on also is that top part, that revenue part of your P&L. What can you do to increase your revenue in your business? Your business should have a number of different assets that you keep, that you have, that you use. How can I modify these to bring value to the people today in a necessary situation? So we've had the podcast, right? The podcast has been around. We've broken, I just recorded today episode like 424 or something like that. It's been crazy. Right before this whole thing crashed and started, this virus started to take over, I was getting ready to launch my podcast coaching program. I want to help people take control of their own branding, take control of their own marketing, using podcasting to create content on a regular basis, because that is how you stay top of mind. That is how you go from fishing for leads that are horrible, that you have to, people don't even trust you. You just kind of, you got some sort of inquiry, to having warm leads where people know, like, and trust you. And these people want to do business with you because they see your content on a regular basis. Problem is, most people don't know how to create content. They suck at it, right? They grab their phone. They're like, okay, I know I'm supposed to do this. They hold the record button and nothing comes out, right? They don't know what to do. So I'm calling it the power of podcasting, redefining the influencer. And it's redefining, you know, right now we have this idea of an influencer being somebody with like a million followers and they have all kinds of, you know, all kinds of people who like them and know them, whatever. That's not what it's all about. For me, podcasting is, how do I stay in front of that core, you know, 100 to 1,000 people that I socialize with on a regular basis? How do I stay top of mind so that when they think of my industry, they think of me? How can I make that connection? If you can do that with that core 100,000 people, like, your job in business is to find your 1,000 super fans, your 1,000 raving fans. If you can find those 1,000 people that know, like, and trust you, that are going to buy from you, that are waiting to buy your next thing, you're a winner, because you can sell them $10 items every month, and that's $10,000 a month. You can live off of that substantial income. That's a good income to have. So stop chasing millions. Trust me, if you get over 1,000, that's freaking awesome. But you don't have to be at millions. Redefine what it is to be an influencer. Start putting out content. Start bringing out value. Start showing your face on a regular basis. Start talking about what people need on a regular basis, so that when somebody says, ooh, I need to sell a home, the other person says, oh, I know exactly who you should be working with. You should be working with Hernan because I've seen him do this, blah, 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 blah. They just know you, right? You identify with the brand. You need to create that brand, and podcasting is a way to do it. Now, that's like some craziness on in and of itself. Then the coronavirus hits and we're all on lockdown. And now it's more essential than ever before that you need to be creating content. Yeah. Now everybody is on their phone 24 hours a day. Now everybody's trolling through the social media feeds looking for the next interesting thing. How am I going to get across this business? The other day we did a podcast on the Family Medical Leave Act, to helping you get, you know, how do you get from unemployment to an extra 10 weeks of paid leave. We're going to be talking about the stimulus package that's going to be coming out. Useful content, information that people need, that you're providing, that your brand is providing, so that they know, like, and trust you in the future. You're either going to come out of this lockdown in the same position or worse, or you're going to come out way ahead, and it's going to be what you do with the time now.
Wow, 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 wow. So many. Oh my God. You know, speaking about the influencer, what influencers and whatnot, if you were in a particular genre such as traveling, these traveling blogs have taken substantial hits, because no one gives a goddamn about traveling right now. Airlines are completely shut down. Now, if you want to plan for the next year, perfectly fine. You know what I mean? But people are.
But it's perspective. Yeah. But it's perspective. If you got a vlog like that, you could hide, put your head in the sand and be like, okay, well, you know, nobody's doing this right now. Or you could turn around and say, look, this is the best way to get your credit. This is the best way to get a refund on your plan. This is how you effectively handle your insurance policy for traveling. Like, it's still value there that you need to bring to the table. It's just how you look at it. If you hide and run from it, that's what most people are going to do. They're on lockdown. We're supposed to be on lockdown for a few weeks here. So what are you going to do? Is this a staycation? Are you going to Netflix and chill the whole time? Or are you going to sit down and put some work in? If you put that work in, you're going to come out ahead. Look, at our school district, we were told initially we're going to come back to school after spring break, which is like April 3rd. So we'd be back like after that weekend. It would be like April 5th, April 6th, something like that. now we, like, our kids' school said the schools will be closed indefinitely, right? Damn. And people are freaking out because they think indefinitely means forever. It doesn't mean forever. It just means they don't know when we're going to go back to school. So we're making plans to teach with virtual space, right? Using Zoom like this. Funny thing is, my particular school district has been having financial issues prior to this coronavirus thing. So we were going through major budget cuts. Now we have our regular traditional classroom, and then we have like a learning center. So kids that don't cut it in this traditional classroom, they go to this learning center, and every school, every campus had a learning center. And with the budget cuts, they were going to close them down. Right. And so this is, you know, a lot of teachers were complaining, this is wrong, this is blah, blah. And I keep telling them the same thing. I'm like, you guys keep thinking your job is secure. Like, we're teaching in an archaic way. Yeah. Now, yeah. I'm like, look, when they shut those things down, I said, this is actually a good thing. They're like, I don't understand. Why do you think it's a good thing? I go, because now you don't have to pay for all the overhead of every single one of those buildings. You can have one teacher teaching 400 students. Right? Managing 400 kids, your overhead goes way down. They're like, yeah, but those kids need a place to go. No, they don't. They didn't do good in a normal classroom.
Yep.
So why are you going to stick them in another normal classroom? It doesn't make any sense. This is an alternative method to complete your requirements for graduation. Guess what? Virtual is the alternative method. And now everybody's going to have to do it. So you got teachers out there that have been doing book, pencil, and paper their whole careers, never wanting to make a shift. And they're going to be hurting because now in the next week or so, when school's supposed to come back in session, they're going to have a virtual space, and they've never even managed to open their email. You know, like, I mean, that's going to be one of those things where now you got to step up the game. Me, on the other hand, I'm like, I've been working on this course for podcasting. I'm going to turn around and create all my stuff that I already had. I'm going to put it in a course. And if we even go back to school, my entire course is done. Like, it's meant to be a matter of log in, kid. This is the handout. You have it right there. This is the video. Like, it's Khan Academy style. It's all laid out for my entire course. Yep. And the really, really cool thing is I'm going to lay it all out. And then I'm going to reach out to other teachers that teach my course within my school district and be like, hey, so I got all this done already. You're willing, you know, I can easily set you up with a login for your classrooms, you know, no problem. Help me out and do some extra supplemental stuff. How about that? You do the supplemental, I'll take care of the major coursework. You know, like, it opens up the door to a lot of things. And maybe it's like, you know what, I want to do it myself. Well, check it out. I'll sell it to you. I'll give you the opportunity to not have to do any of this work already. It's already done for you. Here you go. Let me sell you this course complete. Like, there's opportunities that are endless at this point if you embrace what's going on and look at it as an opportunity rather than having that victim mentality and saying, oh, woe is me, you know, everything's happening to me.
Oh my God, Hernan, just too many golden nuggets, man. And you know what, with your insurance company, dude, how are you going to handle that loss? Are you going to freak out and say, oh my God, okay, this is happening, this is going to take a substantial loss or a big hit? Okay, how am I going to, like, what's your thought process through going through that? I want to just
come back. So I was having a conversation with my business partner yesterday, and the conversation was really, we're about to go through some stuff. It could be we dissolve one entity structure of the overall conglomerate. I mean, we could lose a piece of it, whatever. And the thing about that is, it's necessary. Right? It's like you let your hair grow out all crazy. I don't have that issue, right? You let your hair grow out all crazy, and eventually, right, you got to get a haircut. You got to trim this thing down so that you can be nice and clean and ready to go. That's what's going to happen here. We're trimming off pieces. Is it going to suck? Yes, it sucks, but it's actually better for your business, right? If you're overweight, does getting up every day, going and doing your thing, if there's no issues, you're not going to have really any reason to get into shape. Until, like, the coronavirus hits and it hits people that are overweight, now you're like, oh my God, now I gotta do what I'm supposed to do. So all of a sudden you gotta do what you were supposed to do anyways. You were supposed to eat healthy. You were supposed to exercise. You were supposed to do those things. Your business is the same way. You've let it get overweight because the economy was good. You've let it go in different directions. Maybe you have subscriptions that you don't even use anymore. Maybe you have, you know, services that you're paying for that you rarely use. Now is a great time for you to renegotiate these deals. It's a good time for you to maybe cut some of the stuff that you're not working on. Will people lose their job? Unfortunately, that's a byproduct of what happens, right? That's a sad thing. That's the horrible part of it. But it's a conversation that unfortunately you have to have. So it sucks in the sense that it's not going to feel good, but it's good in the sense that you're fine tuning your company to your goal as a CEO is to make it survive. So how do you make it survive? You cut stuff that needs to get cut. You fine tune that stuff that needs to get fine tuned, and you push forward. And that's it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's a numbers game. Fortunately, and I keep, you know, I was telling my wife about this because, you know, I got to make sure she's aware of the whole situation, because she's asking me, she's like, babe, we've been in lockdown for like 10 days and you've been working your butt off. Like, I don't understand. Are you okay? You stressed? I'm like, my personal budget, fortunately, because of the teaching and that sort of stuff, we're fine. We're going to be great. Yeah. My business, on the other hand, could significantly suffer. It could collapse. It could die. It could, you know, we could close it down. There's a potential, right? So I'm focusing my attention on other revenue streams. That's why I'm focusing my attention on the podcast thing, because there's got to be other ways to bring in money, to bring in revenue, to cope, to get this thing afloat. And when this thing is over and everybody goes back to work, you're going to see that uptick, but you're going to see the uptick with something that is fine tuned, right? Some, you're going to have that fit body. Your corporation is going to be totally fit and ready to go forward. And all you got to do is hit the gas pedal and you're going to fly, right? But now is the time to look at everything that you're doing and then trim the fat and keep going.
Wow. You know, in saying that, man, like I was just telling you, like before we actually got on, some of these language centers out here, they didn't have a plan B in place. Mm-hmm. So here I am, I'm trying to discuss with one of these women that works front office at this place that I do like on a Wednesday evening. I'm like, guys, you're going to have to switch to online. And so I'm over here talking to my students and they're like, dude, we're down for online. And the next thing you know, I'm like, okay, now I need to talk to the CEO. And they're like, okay, thank you for the idea. We're going to try to do it. And then they're like, oh, well, you know, doing it for 2 hours is too long. And I'm like, dude, you guys got like 10 students in one class. 2 hours is perfectly fine. I do this on a routine basis. It's no different from being in a classroom. But yep. Again, these are the ones that are kind of like very hesitant with taking that, you know, that big step. Me, on the other hand, I've met people like 9 years ago who are now saying, hey, I didn't know you teach this. Can you help me? I'm like, sure. Boom. That's a sale. Mm-hmm. You know, I had this other guy from India. Hey, could you help me with reading? Yeah, sure. Okay. Put it all together. Boom. Sale. A dental assistant who's going to be a dentist in Canada. Oh, you know, I'm really interested in the writing. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, sure. Here you go. Boom. Sale. See, and those sales alone have already passed 50% of my net worth at my main salary for the month.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have money and when money isn't coming in, people fear, people become a victim, but you got to become creative. So for my question is, for people who have jobs who lost, I'm telling you, the airlines, Qantas has reduced probably 66% of their staff. Furlough. We're talking furlough. You ain't getting no money, they said. You know, other airlines have shut down up to 90%. These flight attendants and pilots are done. And so, in your opinion, what are the three top skill sets, okay, that you would recommend people to learn online right now through YouTube, whether it's this, whether it's that? What are three areas like, oh, okay, well, there's going to be a need for this. You should probably learn about this. You know what I mean? What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that's a tough one. I'm going to double down on the ones that I have. Yeah. So for me, it's creating video content, right? Being behind a camera and being able to talk about specific things. So I was listening to, they're having this quarantine convention. One of the real estate groups out here in San Diego is having the quarantine convention. And this guy named Sharon, he hops on and he teaches us different ways to beat the algorithms, right? And one of the greatest things that I've heard here are things to help you create content. So he's like, look, you're already doing something. You have an email inbox, right? And we're like, of course we do. He's like, what? Let's look at the sent emails. What are the last couple emails that you sent? If you sent an email, you're replying to a question. When you reply to a question, instead of just sending the email and answering that one question to that one person, you open up your phone, you repeat the question that they asked, you talk about who you are and your brand, and then you answer the question. That is a piece of content that is useful. If you're a real estate agent, that is now an answer that other people are having, a question that other people are having. You're providing that value. It's a different way to create content, right? We keep thinking that content has to be something creative, something like the Avengers. You got to create some masterpiece. It's not about that. It's about documenting what you're doing and finding ways to answer questions that people have and exposing your expertise to them in the most in a consistent way as much as possible. So, you know, doubling down on your video content. I'm going hands down again on the podcast. I am way more articulate today than I was 2 years ago before I had the podcast. I am much more confident talking in front of people than I was 2 years ago when I had the podcast. I can talk to a complete stranger. I can sell to a complete stranger more now because I had the podcast. I have developed my speaking skills over time through this medium called podcasting. So I've increased my ability to be behind a camera. Look, ladies and gents, we're on Zoom calls. We're on lockdown. That's all we're doing. So you need to be comfortable with who you are in front of the camera. You need to be able to be articulate. I'm talking to you, but really I'm in a room by myself talking to nobody. Yep. But I can do that with a level that other people can. I have a more of a charisma. I have more of a comfort behind the microphone or behind an empty room in a screen than most people because I'm practiced in that area. So video, speaking, and the last thing is time management. You have so much additional time. If you're losing your job, then you've gained time. You can't look at it as a negative thing that now I don't have work to go to. Well, what are you going to do with that time that you have, right? If you decide I don't have this time, so I'm going to wake up every day at noon, go to sleep every day at midnight, and I'm going to watch TV and catch up on my shows, you're going to be in the exact same spot. You're going to stress out because you're not doing anything productive to get you there. Use this time to develop a skill. If you're in a particular trade, master a new skill. You probably have things that you can do at home to continue to use those skills and turn around and sell them. So you don't need to master maybe, I don't know, if you're a carpenter, you know, you're making chairs or whatever. You that's not the skill that you need to get better at. You're creating those things. The skill you need to get better at is how do I sell them after I make them? You know what I mean? That's the time that's what you need to start developing. So, you know, manage that time wisely. Use the 8 hours in your, or the 24 hours in your day, and especially the 8 hours that you're using at work to improve what it is that you need to improve on, to find ways to make additional money. Get comfortable behind the video because that's where technology is going. Zoom has been zooming in stock. Yeah. I mean, it's terrible.
I know the shares are up like ridiculously.
Ridiculous. I wish I would have known. I would have, you know, that would have been a nice ride hop on.
Oh, man.
And then lastly, of course, get better at talking to people. You can't escape that. The better you are at talking to people, the more effective you're going to be at pretty much any industry.
Wow. Marbles beyond marbles. Man, in terms of like getting into the whole investment game, you know, I want to ask you, do you have any like stocks, bonds, index funds, anything like that?
I do, but it's not very big. So I'm not a big stock guy, mainly because I have zero control over what happens. And so since I have zero control, I don't like to invest in that sort of stuff. I have some rental properties, but worrisome about those because everybody on lockdown, no work means I might have tenants with no rent being paid. So that kind of sucks, right? But again, if you're looking at this as a negative point of view, right? Oh, the real estate market's going to come down. If you're a real estate agent, you're like, oh my gosh, the market's coming down. I'm done. I should find something else to do. Are you crazy? You realize that I'm going to have vacant properties, which means I'm going to have mortgages that I need to pay, right? Which means if I don't have the money to pay these mortgages, I'm going to be what's called a motivated seller. I'm going to want to get rid of these properties because I can't maintain holding them, right? So if you're a real estate agent, it's just a shift on what's going to happen. You're going from people who want to sell their home and clear a profit to people who have to sell their home because they don't have a choice. They got to get out of the situation they're in. So, you know, things may look devastating. They may look bad. They may look horrible. But a diamond doesn't look pretty when you first grab it either, right? It gets polished. It becomes something beautiful after time, after pressure, right? This is what's going to happen. We have some time. We have some pressure right now, and you're going to be able to find diamonds in the market if you know what to look for. There's opportunities. In 2008, you know, I was listening to a lot of those quarantine convention stuff, and they're talking about certain strategies in the real estate market that I learned in 2003, 2004, 2005, and they're coming back. And it's funny because I learned them then. I implemented some of them during that time. And now, this meant, you know, 15 years down the road, I'm hearing them like if they're brand new pearls of wisdom, and they're not. They're just the same cycle that's going to happen. So, you know, position yourself in a place of knowledge. Find a mentor, somebody who's been through those particular cycles, and look at the opportunities that they're looking at, and then take action. Like, there's so much that's going to happen in these days. If you know, there's people who lose their jobs in construction, that sort of stuff, that all those things that close down. But there's going to be a huge boom here pretty soon, because these things are going to become bank-owned properties. The banks are going to have to turn around and sell them. The buyers are going to have to do some rehab. I mean, this is not necessarily a bad thing. If you're talking stocks, like I said, I don't really invest in stocks very much, but the market has tanked. So people are panicking. I had somebody hit me up the other day, and they're like, "Hey, I had my 401k. It had $100,000, and then I checked it this month, and it's like at $70,000. I lost like $30,000." I'm like, and he's like, "What should I do?" And I was like, "Nothing. Leave it alone. Do not touch it. If you do what everybody else does, you're gonna sell right now. You're gonna lose $30,000. This is not a loss. This is, you don't realize a loss until the day you sell." When you sell, that's when you determine whether you've gained or whether you've lost. Just leave it alone. This market will come back. In 2008, we hit a huge drop, and then it came back over time, and it surpassed where it was then too. Yep. It'll happen here again. Just wait over time. You'll be okay. But that's why I don't invest in stocks, because I don't have control, right? This is a long play. And the person I was talking to, I was like, "You're not going to retire for another like 25 years, bro. Like, relax.
Yeah,
you got time, right? Don't look at it, right? Don't look at it. Leave it alone. Because if you look at it, it's going to stress you out. Leave it alone and just continue to do what you do. Keep putting money away. Right now is the best time to be buying. You're buying at a discount, right? If everybody's selling cheap, you're buying cheap, right? And so make sure you continue to buy, and you'll just, it's called dollar cost averaging. You're going to get it over time, and the market's going to bounce back. Right now, if you have cash, I would be buying. If stocks is where you're at, I would be buying. The market's going to shift in the real estate market. If you have cash, I would be buying, right? That's where fortunes do not disappear. They just change hands, right?
Yeah.
They're just being from one person to another. Somebody else is going to inherit this fortune. It's going to be the people who have an opportunity in front of them, who see the value and can present that value to the people who are there. I honestly feel like podcasting, you know how many podcasts there are out there in the world?
I heard there's like 1 million podcasts now.
Like, yeah, less than a million. Check this stat out. Half of them have less than 14 episodes. 12% have only one episode. So the space is wide open. This is, and people keep thinking like podcasting is about becoming the next Joe Rogan. Stop. It's not about that. It's about just creating your 1,000 fans, these 1,000 people who are going to do whatever, you know, buy from you, trust you, know you, like you, you're providing value that they need. That's all it's about. If you can do that, your podcast is more successful than most of them out there. Find that core. This is the next big space. And I keep saying taking control of your own marketing, not having to pay. You remember the yellow pages? Not having to pay the yellow pages, not having to pay Google, not having to pay Facebook, not having to pay for ads because you're putting out enough content that people see you and recognize you on a regular basis. Yeah. You could become Pepsi amongst the people that you talk to on a regular basis, right? Or Coke if you want, don't matter.
1,000%. Like, when I started my ESL podcast, I had no idea who I was going to be venturing out to, but I'm different from Lewis Howes. You know what I mean? Lewis Howes, he's kind of like the 21 question type of podcaster. My goal, I'm not who he is. I'm completely different from who he is. There's no one else on earth like me. I don't care about him. No offense to like Tom Bilyeu. Don't care about him. Me, you know, with the exchanges that I have with my interviewees, we're bouncing off energy. Joe Rogan, Yeah, we'll leave it at that. You know, there are other podcasters out there that are really big time. They're like, oh, well, I can never do like him. I can never be Tony Robbins. You are never supposed to replicate other individuals. I know there are a lot of coaches out there and say, oh, you need to look up to them and do what they do. Mm-hmm. No, your uniqueness is everything. When I speak, my flock, my geese, whatever you want to call them, are going to come where my voice is. I don't want a million followers to come into my realm and next thing you know, all these trolls and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I don't want that trash around me. You know what I mean? I want my super fans. And right now, I could post a podcast on a routine basis on my English language podcast. And those routine people, when I wake up 6 hours later, it's the same people in the same countries, in the same cities, you know, with a couple of other ones that come on to listen to me.
Yep.
You know, and so people need to understand that. All you need is help. All you need is 50 people. If you sell a product to 50 people, you know, at $20 a pop, and you come out with a product every 2 weeks or every month, you see what I mean? And people are going to start speaking about you. If you have 100 people, okay, if you're not really good with Udemy, okay, go to Teachable. If Teachable is too expensive, okay, create your own ebook. There are free ebook platforms out there. Keep on giving, giving, giving. Find little Facebook groups in terms of you giving. That's how I got clients, because of those Facebook groups, the TOEFL group. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, there is a market for anything and everything, like you've stated. Now, what I wanted to ask you is, in terms of property, I want to play a game real quick. Risk and return. Let's say risk and return 6 is very high, okay, and 1 is very low. Right now, in through your eyes, right now with property management and property in general and asset management and whatnot, what is the number in terms of the risk with property management right now? 6, very, very high. 1, very, very low. And then, of course, the return. And then, again, yeah.
Always depending on the market, right? When we're talking about it right now, where you're asking, it's a very general macro market, right? But even in the macro, there are small little micro markets that are fine, that are not going to have any issues at all. Overall, I would say my own fear factor is probably at around a 5 on the risk. Like on buying a property right now, because I don't know where the bottom is going to be. Right. And so, you know, we were doing flips for a while, and I stopped doing flips maybe about 2.5 years ago, probably a little over 2 years ago. Right. I stopped doing flips. And the main reason I stopped doing flips, cause I didn't want to get caught with my pants down. I didn't want to be mid flip and then the market shift. Right. Yeah. I talked to somebody today that has, you know, 3 properties on the market with 5 coming up, and he's worried about, am I going to get what I need to get out of them? Am I going to even be able to sell them? You know, and that is a true fear. And, you know, I talked about it, and everybody kind of expected a change. We didn't expect the pivot, like, you know, a sharp, you know, 180 degree turn, everybody stop working, stay home. You know what I mean? But that's the thing about markets, is you don't know when the shift is going to happen. So as far as risk, I'm on the scared side as far about a 5. Return on investment, I would say that right now it's pretty low. It's still one of those things where, like, we're at the peak of the change. So, like, you're on a roller coaster. We're at that part where you're not rolling on its own. You're hearing the clicks, click, 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 right? And that's where we're at right now. The click stopped.
Yeah.
And we don't know if it's going to be a sharp downturn. We don't know if it's going to be, you know, just a little bit. We have no idea what's going to happen. So right now, the it's high risk and low reward. But that's not to say that you need to be paying attention, because that will shift here soon, right? There's a lot of people who have cash right now that are just waiting for this thing to dip just a little bit, because it's going to change. And you should pay attention to markets like Las Vegas, for example. They're usually the first to get super hot and the first to crash. And in Las Vegas, I don't know if you saw, they closed hotels.
All of them, right?
For a while. Yeah, there's a lot. Like, their Las Vegas lights were off.
No, which is a weird thing.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy.
Las Vegas.
So to see that, you know, that means jobs means people are not going to pay their rent, which means you're going to have those properties that have, you know, landlords that are don't live in Las Vegas that are going to think about selling. So picture this. I mean, this is how it happens. You have a traditional sale. You have maybe three in one little area of homes. Maybe you have three or four properties that are listed for, I don't know, $200,000, right? Well, all of a sudden I'm stressed and I need to get this property sold really fast. So I'm going to undercut those 200. I'm putting mine at like 175 because I need to sell mine right now. Right. And then that's not just me. Now the next guy, they need to sell real fast too. So they're going to try to undercut me. They're going to put at like 165, 160. And the downturn happens. And then once it catches wind that way, like in 2008, once it catches wind, people are like, oh my gosh, the downturn is happening. I need to get out of the market now. And it starts trickling to other areas, just like the virus does, right? It happens the same way. Human sentiment. Think about toilet paper, how fast toilet paper disappeared in the US ridiculously quick. Why? Because that guy was doing it, so I got to do it too, right? That's all that really happens. And it's gonna be the same way with the real estate market, at least in my opinion. Right. And I don't know for sure. I don't have a crystal ball. It's just, I've seen it happen in the past. I can see the writing on the wall. It will happen again. Now, hopefully it's not as quickly a steep, but once those property values come down, rents don't seem to follow as quickly. So when the numbers start to make sense, when the prices come down and the rents are higher than what the mortgage will be, you're going to see people buying them up like crazy. And we're going to see again another upturn. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a fast one. I have no idea what's going to happen. But we should start, you know, I'm paying attention to the mortgage market, what the rates are going to be, how difficult it is to get financing. If it's difficult right now, I think it's still relatively easy because there's an influx of refis. But we will see what happens, my friend. I just, you know, I hope for the best, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, I've seen this before. I've seen it before.
Damn. So, like, in the last question, like, me, again, you know, going back to the virus, if you inundate yourself with the news and everything, it's doom or gloom. Like, it's the end of days right now.
Oh, yeah.
People are hoarding these toilet paper and the sanitizers. And again, if you watch that movie, The Platform, on Netflix, I came across it, like, last weekend. It shows exactly what humanity is. They're not looking to help the others to the right and left of them, and they're only looking for their own personal needs. It's like fight or flight, survival.
Yeah.
However, the people who are looking to give to the others, those are the ones that will profit heavily from this.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to you, and of course, your family, your businesses and everything, maintaining your composure, how do you do that? Like, there could be a time that I just say, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Oh my God, well, you know, what about next month in the terms of money? But then I say, okay, Arsenio, No. Next month is next month. You have no idea what's going to happen next month, but you can control what you are doing right now. So what are three things that can be in terms of business, it can be in terms of anything that you feel that can be very, very vital for those people, not only during the virus, but in life in general, when markets and things just start to, you know, just fluctuate like crazy, or next, you know, the big plummet happens. You know what I mean? What are some things?
Yeah. So I tend to go the opposite of what people do, right? So my wife would tell you that I'm a robot. I feel nothing. but honestly, it's like I just have a perspective that's different than everybody else. One of the first things that attracted me to Gary Vee was he said something that I was like, I do the same thing. He said, you know, every single day I picture my wife or my kids dying. Right. And I was like, you know what? I do the same thing. Like, if my wife goes out with her friends, in my mind, it's always like, that's it. That's the last time I saw her. I'm never going to see her again. What's the next point of action? Right. And it puts me in a perspective where I also am grateful for what I have. When I wake up in the morning and I'm alive, I feel, you know, I'm healthy, I'm in a good space. Right. And so because I'm in a good space, the next thing after gratitude is, what can I do to help you? Right. If I can help you, I'm like a firm believer in karma, and I know that things are going to come my way. Will I win the lottery because of my karma? I don't know, but I know that the more people that I help out, the more that I'm going to get back in return. And I don't know if it's going to be dollars. One of my favorite scenes, you ever watch It's a Wonderful Life during Christmas?
Oh
Yeah.
man, I think I've heard of that. Yeah, well,
An
no, I
old
haven't.
black and white movie. All right, old black and
I
white
see.
movie.
I do. I was like, "Wonderful Life," ain't that old as hell? Yeah.
Yeah, it's old as hell. It's old as hell. So, anyways, George Bailey in this movie, he's always trying to get out of this little town, but at the same time, he owns this savings and loan, and he helps people the best way he can to help them get a loan to be able to own their own home. And he helps out so many people that towards the end of the movie, they end up losing some money, and he's facing going to jail. And he's thinking about committing suicide because his life is worth more on a life insurance policy than it is, you know, in life. And basically what ends up happening at the end of the movie is the town comes together and like they're all bringing their change and their money and they're helping him out. Right. And that scene to me is one of those few movies. Like, I'm not a crier, but that movie every year gets me really close to like shedding a tear, because that's how I feel my life is supposed to be. Like, I'm supposed to be helping other people because I may not need it. Like I told you, I'm in a position where right now I'm not worried about my mortgage payment or putting food on my table. I don't worry about that myself. I know other people do. But if I was ever in a situation where I needed that, I feel like I've put out so much help and so much gratitude and so much to other people that it would come back in droves. Right. And that's kind of my currency for me, is how much can I help out the other person? So wake up in gratitude, do what you can to help out others. And then, you know, cherish the moments that you do have. Like find time to take care of you in whatever that means, whether the important thing for you is spending time with your spouse or spending time with your kids or exercising or spending time with your dogs and cats, whatever it is. Like, enjoy your moment when it's that time to enjoy your moment. And I'm, that's actually the worst thing that I'm probably good at, because my moment is things like this, is when I'm working. That is my moment. So I force myself from time to time to unplug and go downstairs and, you know, hang out with the wife, hang out with the kids. And even then I sometimes take my laptop with me, but it's because that's where I like to, that's where I feel the most comfortable. That's where I like, I'm productive at that point. Right. But whatever it is for you, don't feel bad about what that is. Whatever it is, find that little escape that you need and enjoy that moment. You know, be grateful for what you got. Go out and help other people and enjoy your moment of the present. Those are my three things.
Guys, in saying that, man, we gotta set up some kind of challenge, like right here, because I told what was it? I was trying to like do a jab, 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 right hook in terms of like, okay, if they sign up for my email on MailChimp, you know what I mean, my newsletter, I'll give them this video for free. You know, it's kind of like a bit, you know, a hook, but like in terms of them listening to this all the way through, we got to try to come up with something. I don't know if we could come up with it right now, right this instant, in terms of both you and I, but a way that we, that they could get something. I don't know if in terms of you, in terms of signing up for something on your end, or like a 50% off or a 15%, whatever it is. I don't know what we could do right now, but we can come up with something on the fly right here, right now.
All right, look, I'm looking for people to take my podcast course, because I need to make some rock stars. I need to have some case studies, right? So if they listen all the way through and they contact me, I'll take the first two people to contact me, Hernan@csfirst.com, I'll give you the scholarship. I'll let you guys come on board. Our program starts April 1st. And we'll get this thing going. Start your own podcast. Take control. If you have a business and you're worried about marketing dollars, like how do you build a brand? How do you get your message out? How do you do all that stuff? That's what you want. That's what podcasting's for, man. That's what it's there for. Stop trying to become Joe Rogan. Stop trying to be Larry King. And use this as a tool. This is your tool to increase the volume of your business. Like, this is your business is trying to get clients. Right? So you need a bunch of little pieces of content. These are your little employees that are out in the internet world working for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, spreading your message all day long. How many of those do you want? If you can have as many employees as you want, how many would you have? You'd have an infinite amount. So start creating them, make them. That's what podcasting is for.
There it is, baby, guys. You guys are going to get about two snippets. If you guys are watching this, of course, today, or if you guys are listening to this in the future and whatnot, I do apologize, because, you know, if you listen to this like 4 months from now, oops, it's already finished. It's already filled. But if you guys are listening to this right now, for whatever reason, on the Facebook page especially, and I tag Hernan, and I do the Instagram stories, whatever I do, make sure that you go to HernanCS.com.
HernanCSFirst.com is my email address, or go to businessbros.biz and sign up right there.
Awesome. I get those links, guys. And again, man, this is a fire one. As always, man, I'm going to put all the links and everything to get in touch with Hernan, not only for the podcast course for her, but for everything else also, man. Hernan, this was a fiery one, man. Thank you, brother.
Always a good time. Always a good time with you.
You're welcome. So, guys, in saying that, boom, you guys got some things to do. No more victimhood. It's time to put that hero cape on. You guys have the power now. You're at home. No more excuses. Okay.
No more excuses.
No more excuses. So, in saying that, guys, stay tuned for more. And Hernan, again, man, thanks for coming on for the first interviewee on my Business English podcast, brother.
Business Bros.
Over and out. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that. Just to reiterate, man, there was so much and so many golden nuggets within this podcast. If you guys are interested in Hernan CS, again, he, at the time, obviously, he was talking about putting up the, you know, having a podcast school and having, you know, people come on for free, et cetera, et cetera. But again, that has come and gone. But you could still reach out to him if you guys are interested in that and improving your speaking capabilities and doubling down on things that you would like to speak about, that you're passionate about. Lots of great things. Lots of, again, golden nuggets in here. So again, if you guys are interested in more of what I got going on in terms of sales, in terms of communication, marketing, investment, stuff in like that. You know, I'm going to start talking about corporate finance, HR, supply chain and management, logistics. If you guys are interested in these different levels of business English, please let me know. Or you could just subscribe for a month and see how you like it. So, in saying that, guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another ESL podcast. And that was a snippet of my Business English podcast. Stay tuned, guys. We have so much more to come. Over and out.